Okie doke, into the last hour of this Thursday's show, and we welcome into the studio Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Balgdar Garden Centre. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
What about this weather?
The weather is glorious at the minute, so it is.
Yeah, and because of this high pressure stubbornly stuck off the north coast, it's really quite predictable, and they're saying there's not going to be a dribble of rain for a week at least.
No, I think so. All right, I reckon most next week's going to be fairly dry as well, so it's important to keep up in the watering, I suppose.
The flowers, the plants are thirsty.
Yes, absolutely. And I suppose the thing now at the minute, the kids are out to their paddling pools and stuff like that, so it's good actually if you're removing it, you use that water for the plants, you're sort of making the most of the water. That
they don't mind we then, the plants, no?
No, they'll be grand. They'll thrive on it.
This will be all right. That's all right. And what about lawns? Like, I've never watered a lawn. I would see it as a terrible waste, right? Mm-hmm. But that's me personally. I don't tend to judge other people. But I presume lawns are starting to go, hold on you a second here. We're drying out.
Generally, you see that in sort of the verges along the road and stuff. You'll see the grass sort of gradually turning yellow and yellow. To be honest, I wouldn't be a big man for watering lawn either. If it's well established, if it's like new grass seed you've sown this year, that'd be a good idea to give it a wee drink.
Yeah.
Just to establish it. But on an established lawn, I wouldn't be bothered.
Yeah, it'll bounce back.
It will, surely.
And we will get rain. You know, as much
as exactly. As much as we want, I would say.
And it's interesting to see the amount of rain in Spain and Italy at the moment.
Mm.
And yet here we are sitting. And it's great to see us getting good weather in the west and northwest and them freezing their boobs off in Dublin.
Yes, absolutely. Even the South England, like you usually associate with almost like a French weather.
Yeah.
But they seem to be, we're getting it far better at the minute.
What is that you have in front of you, that plant?
This is an aloe vera plant.
Aloe vera.
Yes. And my wife uses that one quite regularly.
It's annoying, isn't it? I do it all the time.
Yes,
and it does annoy. Aloe vera.
What
does she ever then start talking about hot pots and stuff? I do that. I go, no. Hello, Vera. Do you want a hot pot?
Yes, the little Coronation Street thing came out, didn't you?
Yeah, that's it. Betty's hot pot.
So, what do you call it? But,
she left me with the pigeons.
That's Phyllis.
I was going to say, you must have more into it than I was.
I'm here all day. Right, okay, so let us... Can you hold it aloft a little
yes.
bit?
Yes, right. So, where's your camera?
No, it's you're right not this
perfect.
Time
Sorry.
Because someone broke my cameras. Right, so what is that then? This is
an aloe vera plant. It's a tropical plant. It's a succulent, which means that it stores water within itself.
Yes.
So it's almost like a desert plant.
Mm.
So brilliant plant to have in the house. Thrives in neglect, because if you forget to water it,
right.
it's happy enough.
So it's like those other tall ones that people have. It lives on the moisture in the property, effectively.
Almost,
doesn't it? For the most part.
Aye,
you have to
exactly.
water it occasionally, but...
Okay, very okay. Every month, maybe, we'll be happy enough.
So, how do you derive aloe vera from it?
Yeah, pretty much the way it's stored moisture within it, and it's stored all sorts of antioxidants and stuff like that there. So, Caroline, very kindly, mate, let me borrow a knife here.
You're going to open it?
Yes.
Okay, so, let's tilt this down and then Phil's watching it. Okay, go ahead.
Simple as that. You just cut off a leaf, particularly.
Yes.
And generally use about an inch of it, an inch and a half of it at a time. Cut off that wee bit.
Yes.
And cut it apart.
Okay.
And you can see that the inside of it's covered in gel.
Ooh, can I have it?
Yeah,
over here.
Absolutely.
One second.
But
that's actually very gooey.
Yes, but it's absolutely brilliant for any sort of skin conditions or if it's actually for sunburn, particularly at this time of year. That's brilliant. There's no particular smell of it now.
Yeah, but I think I'm smelling the actual structure of the plant.
Yeah.
So you could rub that into a burn, sunburn, gunk.
Exactly.
You know,
first or second degree burns, like you scald in the hand or something like that, there's perfect for it. Heals, generally cuts even
it's
at
really
a
little, running now.
It will heal about 9 times quicker than normal stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, but sunburn particularly is very good for soothing it and treating it a bit.
Right.
So it is.
And is it a moisturiser as well? Or
yes,
what else is it?
Absolutely. So I suppose you have a lot of beauty products made out of it.
Yeah, there's no smell off it actually.
No,
so your aloe vera smells, it's scented.
Yes, well, what do you call it? But no, it's there's no real thing of it. But no, it's an absolutely brilliant plant to have about the place. So it is. And this bit, the excess bit of the leaf,
yes.
you can actually leave in the fridge for up to a week. Just wrap it in cling film and stick it in the
fridge. So that plant that you have that we're looking at here, it's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, it used to have 9 kind of branches to it, right?
Yeah.
How quickly does that return or grow? I presume it's a slow grower.
It's quite a slow grower, but that they will grow to about 12 inches or so.
Okay.
So you can actually just cut the ends off them.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be so bad. But they also reproduce by putting out wee side plants.
Mm.
You can actually just add a certain time of year, just take them off and replant them into their own separate pot.
Yeah.
And they'll be happy
so
enough to grow away.
In just cutting that little bit, And it's really, it's got a constituency to it that I wasn't expecting. It is like a moisturizer.
Yeah, that's a real gel. It's not really liquid
so
as such.
Even, yeah, exactly. So you could just rub that straight on then.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Well. You
just
know
rub
what I mean?
It onto the affected
excess
area.
And just keep rubbing it. Because I presume that the leaf is sodden in it as well because it's going to soak up.
That's the way these store their water basically in the desert conditions.
And no problem growing those indoors in this country, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be indoors. It won't stick the frost outside.
But they love it, okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and how old is that plant that you have there?
That plant there probably 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
I would say.
It's quite octopusy looking, isn't it?
It is a bit, all right. So it's very, very desert looking. It's almost like a cactus.
All right, okay, brilliant stuff. All right. 086 60 25,000. 1 second here. Mm-hmm. 086 60 25,000 if you wish to get in contact with us. Right. Moss on the lawns is going to keep coming in. I get that because people are, you know, they're well into the sort of, they're probably on the third cut at this stage, right? And they're still seeing the blade goes down and
the carpet.
Yeah, you're into the carpet there now. So what can people manageably do, I wonder, to address the problem?
Probably the easiest way of dealing with it is to hire a scarifier. A machine, just hire it and go over and that pulls out actually the moss from between the things.
Yes.
Any bare patches then treat with grass seed, because anywhere that you leave a bare patch is going to, the moss is going to recolonize basically. But to be honest, going back to your point earlier in terms of lawns being sort of dry and under stress, I would nearly leave it at the stage until we get a bit of rain.
Yes.
Because you're actually ripping at the lawn a bit. While it's under stress, you don't want to be more stressing it basically.
And do you think we're too fussy maybe sometimes too, a little bit? I mean that nicely. Like, I mean, I kind of come to terms with what I have in front of the house. It's never going to be a bowling green. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's short and you can kick a ball on it. You know, that sort of a way.
I suppose it's just what people are into, basically. Yeah, some people expect a pristine lawn. To be honest, my lawn is far from it. They're more clover in it than anything else. But like I say, it's green. You cut it every so often and you can the wains play away in it. Everybody's happy enough.
No mow May.
No Mow May, yes, very popular there. It's becoming more and more popular. So it is.
Well, it was such a success for me. I'm actually going to do No Washing Up June.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so and I can't wait to figure out what I'm going to do in July. Yes,
you're just going to have to justify it to yourself. But yes, now, the No Mow May is actually, a lot of people have embraced it, and I see a lot of like areas within housing estates and stuff. You see the wee pollinator signs up and that. So apparently it is very beneficial.
It is kind of interesting because I did notice that one local multinational has adopted that approach, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like wildflowery stuff.
Yeah.
But they put a sign up to state that because I presume they don't want people to think that they're neglecting the property.
Exactly.
So it's kind of a double advantage. They seem to be doing something for the environment, but at the same time they're saying it's not that we're lazy here, it's just that this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I see.
And that's it. I mean, it's coming to terms really with the fact that it's not going to maybe, depending on your what you like, it's not going to look as nice as a tightly cut grass.
Yeah, pretty much. But a lot of people are sort of like big companies especially, they're trying to offset carbon and stuff like that. So I suppose any wee bit helps.
And it saves them on maintenance costs as well. Neighbour's cat coming into my garden from next door. What do I do about that?
Yes, cats can be a huge problem, sort of be divisive between neighbours and stuff. Generally there are a few sort of repellents you can get, and actually the last time I was on, we were discussing
this fantastic new.
I have a poo for every occasion,
yes,
basically.
Exactly.
So the new one I've seen online actually apparently works very well is lion poo.
Lion's poo.
Yeah, basically you can get essence of it now. You buy it online and spread it about. And the theory is that the cat actually smells that there is a predator about or a lion about. So he says, "Oh, there's a bigger fellow about here than me, so I'll stay out of that."
So that really is because, I mean, obviously a local cat's never seen a lion. That really gets into sort of, you know.
Yeah, apparently it's in their DNA.
In their DNA. That's exactly it. How exciting. So how do you source lion poop?
The minute I've only seen it online now.
Is
but
it
it's, I suppose it's distilled. I was going to actually get a jar to bring in, but it was very expensive.
No, we'll stick with the aloe vera plants if that's all right.
So there you go. But the thing about that, do you get other repellents you can buy certain garden centres, hardware shops? They're based in citrus fruits.
Yeah. I mean, cats, I mean, you can, you know, you tame a cat and it's a house pet and all that. But, I mean, by nature, they retain, it's not like a dog, like a cat does retain an awful lot of its instinctive behaviour, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And, you know what I mean? I'm not sure really you can train that out of them as such. You know, they go off and do their thing and.
Funny, I actually, the whole lion poo, I had a $1 million idea one day there.
Go on.
The biggest problem we have around here is deers in gardens. And I thought, what would a deer be afraid of? A wolf or something like that.
It's a wolf poop.
That's exactly what I thought. Only I chatted to a wolf expert who says it wouldn't work because wolves have been gone out of the environment for so long.
Yeah, but look how long lions have been removed from cats.
True. So
it's worth it. Mm. I mean, there's a Wild Ireland.
Yes, that's it was him I was talking to.
Oh, him? Right, okay, so, well, forget so, it then. So. Right,
but no, he reckoned it's out of the deer's DNA to recognise what a wolf is.
Right, okay. It'd be fascinating, though, to get a bucket of it, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, because deers are the main problem in people's gardens around here at the minute.
Really so unbelievable.
Deers coming in and actually causing for young trees and stuff.
Yeah.
But getting back to the cats, the thing I've found most reliable would be just basically get the hose or get a water pistol.
Yeah.
And if you see the cat coming
discourage in,
discourage it. Just exactly. And sort of, he negatively associates your garden with getting wet.
Mm.
And if you keep that up for about a week, I know it's not easy for people that aren't there all the time. But once he gets that negative association, he'll find somewhere easier and more pleasant to go.
He'll choose the path of least resistance.
Exactly, yeah. Okay.
I had a load of flowers on my apple tree, but they appear now to be falling off. So no apples appearing. What's going on there?
Yeah, it would be natural enough for the flowers to fall off. And generally, what should have happened was that the flower got pollinated.
Mm.
And then that sort of feeds the seed that's behind the flower. So given another few weeks, you might see the wee apples starting to form.
So it's not lost yet. Yeah, okay.
So it's not. But if you don't, it's possible that didn't get pollinated enough. So it might be an idea to actually just maybe introduce another one next year.
I'm trying to grow a hedge. Planted it earlier this year. Should I put grass cuttings around the roots or keep the roots clear of all grass?
I would tend to keep the roots clear of all grass. Generally, if you bought a plant there, something like poultry manure or something like that to put on it. But what can happen is the grass cuttings become sort of very stodgy and they'll retain a lot of moisture. And if they're up against the trunk of the plant, it can actually sort of rot the bark a bit.
Mm.
So now I would tend to leave the grass cuttings fairly well away.
I'm trying to do a bit for wildlife and I'm wondering at the moment, I've just left a patch of the garden uncut, but should I plant some type of flowers or plants in it?
Yeah, well, generally what you're doing, if you actually read into a lot of stuff, the best thing you can do for nature is to do nothing.
Yeah.
So just let it go and let whatever natural flowers native to your area come up.
Yeah.
So chances are just leave it the way it is. If you want to make it a bit more attractive, you can introduce some stuff, but... Mm. Generally, you're doing your bit by doing nothing.
Now, relatively speaking, because we're talking about something that's not important, but I'm tortured with little white fluffs coming off trees.
Mm-hmm.
They're blowing into the back of the house. They're sticking to everywhere. You know, everywhere there's a cobweb, they stick in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're sticking to any furniture that's there. What are they?
You're thinking of as dandelions.
No. They're coming off a tree. It's like a tree with a white flower on it.
They're coming off Sally's or Woe's,
right.
I would say.
Yeah.
They can be quite sticky, all right, them things.
And is that how it populates the world with itself, is it?
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I got. Back about sort of March, April, it forms these wee sort of yellow catkins.
Mm.
And then the white fluffy bits come off. But I think that is the seed distributing itself,
yeah,
more or less.
But they seem to be more, like, I've had it in the past, but it was like for a short period of time. They've just floating mm-hmm. around the place right. now for weeks on end.
Yeah, I suppose I would say what happened there is we've had no sort of big sort of spring storm as such.
Yeah, wind.
Normally wind come along and clean them off in one day, whereas now it seems to be, because there's been no wind, it's just sort of it's prolonging the process.
Mm-hmm. Any advice on growing gooseberry bushes in a blueberry bush? We used to have them in my granny's and I'd like to grow them for my grandchildren. What's the best time to plant them?
Best time to plant them, once again, garden centres have them now in pots, so you can plant them any time of year. Probably, I don't know if I'd plant them just now because it's very hot, if you know what I mean, but sort of getting into August, September would be a perfect time to plant
them.
They're
hardy, aren't they? I've seen them next to the sea, you know, producing grapefruit.
Yeah.
The gooseberries in particular.
Yes, gooseberries are actually very easy to grow. They will grow pretty much anywhere and you can plant one in any stage of the year. The blueberries are a different kettle of fish. It's an ericaceous plant. It actually doesn't like lime. So it makes real acidic soil. Sort of their natural habitat would be boggy ground and peaty ground, which Donegal should be quite good for growing them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you're planting a blueberry bush, it'd be important to get a bag of ericaceous compost to put around it.
What feed would be best for a cherry blossom tree?
Cherry blossom tree, probably once again your poultry manure, just a generally well balanced fertilizer, something with an NPK that's sort of fairly regular, like 777, which the poultry manure would be. But generally something that got to be organic as well. Anything's fairly balanced that you're going to sort of feed the whole aspect of the tree and the flowers.
Here's an interesting one, actually, and kind of timely because it is the 1st of June. I did know Mo May.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, my lawn is like a mini jungle for all the bees, etc.
Mm-hmm.
June has come. So what's the best way to tackle it? Mow without a bucket on and rake it up? Stop, start? What I've done mm-hmm. is actually stick it at its highest height. Now, it depends on how long it is. Stick it on its highest height and you have to go over it a couple of times. But I don't know, is there a better way to do it?
Pretty much. If it's very long, What you could do actually is go on very high with a strimmer,
yeah,
or something, actually strim it off quite high, like you're chatting maybe 6-8 inches up, and then take that stuff off.
I think going without the bucket, without the, yeah, the collector,
at its highest setting, it might be all right. But yeah, the thing is now it's so dry, this is the optimum time to cut it, because exactly, the grass is actually less bulked or less moisture in the grass.
Yeah, because sometimes when I've had to cut it when it was high, the grounds, the grass has always got some sort of a moisture to it in the ground, and it gets very boggy then, and it sort of mulches the grass into the...
Yeah, because the heat doesn't get in the bottom of the grass, so it's going to be naturally wet anyway. So if you cut it at its highest setting, maybe left it a day.
Yeah.
And then actually cut it lower.
Yeah, it's sort of take a couple of days, take the long weekend.
Just let it dry out as you go.
All right, okay. May I ask what happened the Montanas this year? No flowers at all. I cut it well back, thank you.
Yes, very good question, because next door neighbour has actually lost hers. This is the Clematis Montana Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
She's lost hers. I think it was a frost, and mine's is looking very sad of itself, so it is now. I think there was a very hard frost just before Christmas, and I think that's what done for them. And they're sort of struggling to come back, basically, but they're not performing anyway like what they should be.
Yeah, so one event can disrupt...
Absolutely. There's a very sudden frost just about a week before Christmas. Seems to have destroyed a lot of plants. Even the card lines around the country, a lot of them are destroyed as well.
Right, okay. Listen, we better just talk about watering then, because there's very little air moisture either.
Yes.
Just briefly. So whether your stuff's inside or outside, as they say, not everyone has a garden. Some have a wee balcony or just the windowsill or a place by the... by the window in the kitchen, whatever it might be, they need a lot of water at the moment, because the soil, it will dry out. And actually, when it dries out, if you just pour it on the top, sometimes the dry soil can repel it to some extent. So we have to give a little bit of extra attention to our little flowery friends.
Exactly. So now, generally, the best time to water is morning or evening. If you do it in the middle of the day, you risk scorching the plants and the water evaporates too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, if you can do it morning or evening, and at this, in this sort of current heat, we've definitely pretty much bedding plants that every day. And generally, getting other plants in the garden, get into the habit of checking them, sort of, pretty much every day if you can. And if it's a newly established plant, definitely water it every couple of days.
All right. Colette McCrae is out in Salou, and she says, good morning, Greg, from a sunny Salou.
Yes, lovely spot.
But I'm looking at this. It is. I'm looking at the weather forecast here. 22 degrees and cloudy. But it's sunny, cloudy. Do you know when there's half a sun behind the cloud? So I'm glad you're enjoying your holiday, Colette, if indeed it is a holiday. But I'm looking out the window here now, and there is not a cloud in the sky. And there is no wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably around about 23, 24 out there right now. So Colette, whilst normally I'd be very envious of you, on this occasion, I'm envious probably at the pool.
Exactly.
Imagine watching me and you at the pool in Slough.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Surely there'd be better things to do.
No, never. Yeah. All right, okay. But we're matching you, Colette, for the weather just at the moment. But enjoy your break if it is indeed a holiday, and it's great to have you on board.
Yesterday in the Poway Tunnels was 45 down the garden centre.
Lovely. No. It's like being in Dubai.
Yes, exactly. It was grand if you weren't working.
Yes. All you needed now was a bottomless brunch.
Yes, exactly.
And you would be in Dubai. That'd be right. Listen, thanks very much, Paul. Paul McLaughlin at Ballacdur Garden Centre. All your bedding plants and everything all ready to go and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pretty much all gone at this stage.
So, all gone?
Right, pretty much.
Wow,
no, it's been a good season.
Yeah, that's a lot of work got them to that, and a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. Okay, good. I hope it worked very well for you. Paul McLaughlin, gardener there at Ballacdur Garden Centre. He'll be back with us in a few weeks, or a week or 2 weeks. I haven't a clue. But for now, he's away, and we'll be back with more after this break. I want to say a big happy birthday to our Judith Wilkin in Drumada. Who will be the big 5-0 this month from your fabulous friends. Any chance... Oh, that's something else. Let me see here. Hi, could you please wish Bill and Breed Porter from Buncranham a massive happy 52nd wedding anniversary. Love from their daughter, Nyreen, and the rest of the family. Thank you. Well done, Bill and Breed. Would you be able to reach out... Would you be able to read out the following about the Church of Ireland Church Fair? It's taking place this Saturday, the 3rd of June, at the church grounds and hall in Kilmacrenan. Okay, get along to that if you can. Paddy McDade in Brocca, in Creasla. Happy birthday from Granny, Grandad, Auntie Bridget and Godfather Lurkin. Paddy McDade, have a wonderful birthday there. Good morning, Greg. Just seen the one-stop man thumbing out the dual carriageway. Think he's heading for Derry? No, that must be someone else. It's not our guy. He's not that animated. What about the road from Ballybuffet to the Cross? It's in terrible condition since Irish Water put in the pipes. Indeed, hopefully that gets sorted sooner rather than later. I'm after waiting on the phone to the Intrio office for near 30 minutes to be told they can't help me. It's a total disgrace. You can get a contact number for a local office instead, having to talk to the National Intro office. I misplaced son's appointment letter to get the PSC card, was trying to get time for it. He took day off from apprenticeship to get the card for a theory. The lady said they will get back to me by email, but she said it won't be today. And sorry, I asked her, can I contact a local intro office? And she said they have no contact, only by email they can be contacted. It's a total disgrace how people can't directly contact for local services. I'll go up later, but for something so simple, they make it so complicated. Now, I had to register for a PSC card recently, and I just called them in Donegal Town and set up an appointment. Now, the appointment wasn't until the following week. I think I called on a Thursday. But I didn't speak nationally on the website. If I'm on about the same thing, I just called Donegal Town and there was a list of numbers for all of them. A caller says, maybe all this money that we are flushed with in non-existent, these multinationals who get huge tax cuts and low interest rates are of getting away with everything and the workers getting hammered. Why increase everything across the board when we have so much? Well, you see, the problem is not the problem, but the reality is that all our excess income in this country that none of us see comes from multinationals that are invested here, and it's a tax on their profits. And I think two or three companies make up a huge proportion of the excess income coming into the country. The government's coffers are swollen. They're swollen. It's not a myth or a theory. They're swollen with cash. But it's just, some might say, not filtering down to the man and woman on the street. I agree with you, Greg. Why did the council hand back surplus money instead of allocating it for more houses for the community and the Mica people? And why they added $3 million to the funds at Dunreeh Fort instead of helping the housing situation? I can't work it out. Thank you. I get you, and I think maybe you've texted on this Dunreeh thing before, and I've said my feelings on that in the past. Look, it's not about saving $3 million from that project and all of a sudden it fixes the micro crisis. It just doesn't work like that. Well done, Greg. I'm putting it to Thomas Pringle about taxing Airbnbs. The housing crisis is of the government's making. It's a pity our national broadcaster doesn't ask hard questions. It seems they're afraid of offending their masters. Well, you see, what happens sometimes is if you ask hard questions, people refuse to be answerable to you or the general public of Donegal. Isn't it strange? So maybe that's why RTE doesn't ask hard questions, because when I do ask hard questions, certain people run for the hills and won't speak to the people of Donegal that elected them. So anyway, that's just the way it is. I'm prepared to, if that's what happens, that happens. But I'm here to represent the people. I'm not self-appointed in doing so. I'm on about ask the questions that affect us all right? So maybe that's why the national broadcaster doesn't, because they're afraid that they won't get their minister every other day onto Morning Ireland. I haven't a clue. Right, okay, we are going to be talking about the water situation in Letterkenny after these. Okay, Amanda joins us on the programme now. She's living in the Bonamy area of Letterkenny. Thanks for taking the call, Amanda.
Good morning, Greg.
Nice to speak to you. Right, you've had problems with your water supply. Talk to us about the problems, the outages, and your interaction with Iscah Éireann, a.k.a. Irish Water.
So I suppose we've been having these problems for going on 3.5 years now, but most recently, in recent months, they've got really bad. We have had outages in the last month for nearly every second day, if not nearly every day sometimes. And I know that you had my neighbour on the show a couple of weeks ago. Now, in saying that, for the last 2 weeks, we have had no water outages at all. So it's miraculous, really. But for the last 3 days since Monday morning, our water went off due to a large burst in Lismonahan, I believe. But it still took 48 hours before our water supply was restored. So where there is an outage or a burst, it seems to take that length of time before it gets to our properties and our neighbouring properties. So this situation has been ongoing for 3.5 years, but certainly deteriorated for the last couple of months, and it falls on deaf ears whenever you contact Irish Water. I used to ring them. I've stopped doing that now because you just spend so long on the phone. They ask you the same questions. It's just the bureaucracy is unbelievable. I email them now instead, and you just get these generic text messages from them. But I have lodged a complaint with them on numerous occasions. The results of the most recent complaint then came back on to basically tell us that we're on our own financially. We have to sort this out ourselves.
So they never talked about any future investment, any future plans. They're saying because of your location that they can't presumably guarantee a water supply and for you to try and source or invest in one for yourself.
Correct, yeah. They said that they had a field engineer's investigation carried out and that there was no operational solution on the ground. Now, let's point out we are connected to the mains.
Mm-hmm.
Planning permission was granted for our property and Donegal County Council were paid a water charge for the connection to supply water to our property and to all of the other properties on our road. But to say that there's no operational solution is just, it's infuriating and it's a slap in the face for us when, you know, we've been through so much trouble and we are really at our wit's end. We have children, we have, our house just shuts down when there's no water supply. But what they've told us is that we need to invest privately ourselves for private water storage and for pumping systems.
Okay, that line is failing us.
It's awful. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a human right to water, though, and sanitisation. So they're effectively saying, and they are an arm of the state, and you paid your water charges to get connected and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, it is a human right, but they're saying it is not their responsibility to provide you with an adequate water supply for you to do that yourself. That's really unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. I mean, we were totally shocked when we received the email and we circulated it among our neighbours. And, you know, apart from taking to the streets, we just feel, where do we go from here? Our house and our neighbours' house is back onto a forest. The forest is only about 15 feet away. So if there was a fire, particularly given the warm weather, you know, it's there actually isn't any fire hydrant visible on our road either. So that's another issue that we have with Irish Water, which is besides the point. But it's there's a lot that's wrong with all of this, and we just don't know where to go now after this.
No, and I think Irish Water can't be let off the hook on this either. Stay where you are, Amanda. The Mayor of Letterkenny Municipal District is Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly. I mean, I've heard a lot of things attributed to Irish Water, but nothing like this before, Donal. I mean, it's a dereliction of duty, is it, at the very least?
It's absolutely unbelievable, Greg. That's what it is. It's ridiculous. And this is the firm that talks is about that they're due to take over more or less full control of the water supply within Donegal and the county for that matter. And for any resident, and in particular for Amanda there, and I want to welcome her on there, and they can be fully engaged with Amanda and the residents there of Bomini, New Mills, Carmel, Tully Gay. And these people are suffering day in, day out. As Amanda stated there, nearly every second day they're without water. And we're in 2023, and this carry-on is still going on.
Well, it's absolutely ridiculous. And as well as that too, if Irish Water are not capable of maintaining the water network, which Amanda is connected to, well, then we need to make sure that they do not take over the running of that network, because by their own admission, they can't fulfil that commitment.
Without a doubt, Greg, and Greg, you're fully aware this is something that I'm very vocal on. If I had my way, and I'm pushing as hard as I can, Irish Water would not be taking full control. But listen, I feel myself, Greg, it has come to a point that I have had a wall. And, you know, for Irish Water to come back with a response to residents such as that they more or less have to put their hand on their own hip pocket to resolve this problem, it's absolutely shocking. And, I mean, Greg, we have TDs there as well, and Dáil Éireann in Dublin, and the Raptors, and I feel they may need to be making more noise about this as well, because they're too quiet on what's going on here. And should Irish Water get full control of our water here within the county of Donegal, it's going to be nothing less of a disaster. It'll be a catastrophe. Because I feel, I mean, we have great men on the ground here within our own local authority that is more than willing and trying hard to get all these problems resolved within these areas that we're talking about. and again, and Ross Bracken there as well. And we had an issue that I went to as well there, as well as the reservoir in Ardoddonnell, where it was leaking come heavy rain there. And I mean, they're not listening. They're not coming out. They're not getting these problems addressed. And as I say, Greg, and I can't state highly enough of our old men within Donegal County Council, they are doing their damnedest.
But just on the point here. On the point of national representation, I mean, obviously you have access to a minister's office in Minister Charlie McConnell Logue. Have you made contact with him or his office, and what's he going to do about this issue? Because he's the most senior politician in this county.
I have, Greg. I have, and I've been fully engaged with Charlie, and Charlie, our minister, is pushing very hard on this. But, Greg, I'm going to state it again. There's a lot more than Charlie McConnell Logue in this county that's in Dublin. And Charlie McConnell Logue is doing his damnedest for me. I'm in contact with him in his office very regularly on this. But I'm yet to have a call or engagement from any other TD that's representing the people of Donegal. And that's something that I find a bit alarming. And that's why I would like to have more engagement than the rest of our TDs within the county. Have them come out and be vocal on this as well. We can't offload everything onto our minister, Greg, you know. At the end of the day, there's a lot of other issues that he's trying to resolve as well. And, you know, we have other TDs there. And I think everybody needs to pull their own weight on this. Be vocal, get out and get the points addressed, and hold Irish Water accountable. Because what's going on here, it's absolutely shocking.
Mm. All right. But, I mean, Amanda, separate from the political side of things at this stage, you know what I mean? This is everyday life for you. You just want a resolution to this. And it seems a bit hopeless at the moment. I mean, what can we do to better hold Irish Water to account? I mean, I want them to release to us in a press release what they said to you. I think it should be publicly on the record to a media organisation that they are saying that it's not their responsibility, that it's down to residents to do this. And then we need to start talking about getting your fees restored to you, if that's the case, because you paid for a water supply. They're saying that they can't provide it. So, you know what I mean? Like, this opens up an awful lot of avenues that we need to pursue here, Amanda.
Absolutely. I mean, we certainly don't want to give back the fees. We just want our water supply.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? If they're saying that they can't do it, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Yeah,
no,
I get the point. Yeah, absolutely. No, we just feel hopeless. We really do. And it's just, it's fine when the water is back, but then once the water goes off again, you know, everyone is just put back into the same position again. We all have young families. We have lots of things to do in the house connected with water.
Yeah.
And as I say, our house just shuts down. I had to replace a dishwasher 2 weeks ago because the one that we had just cut out because it was being starved of water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are the practical day-to-day things. That
and the motor burned out. It could happen to an electric shower.
Absolutely.
You know, you're heating then, you wonder, can you put it on or off or on and all that stuff. Okay. Well, we're going to make our inquiries to Irish Water as well, Amanda, with a view to, as I say, at least getting that shocking statement from them on the record, as well as I know they've already informed you of that. And from your perspective, Councillor Kelly, what can you do next? You said you feel you've hit a brick wall on this issue with Irish Water.
Well, Greg, I may have had a brick wall, but I'm not going to stop to get through it. I can assure you that. I mean, for Irish Water to turn around and say that there's no, that they can't find a solution. There's always a solution. There's always a way around things. And I have no doubt in my mind there's a solution to this as well. And Irish Water needs to get the finger out and get it resolved. And I mean, as Amanda stated there, there was a Boston Lismonahan, and there could have been a factor to this. But outside of the Boston Lismonahan, Greg, this has continuously been going on. And I feel, personally, myself, this is only my own opinion, but I feel that the infrastructure that's in place there within them areas is not adequate enough to do the job it should be doing.
Mm.
And on top of that, I feel that the reservoir up around that's feeding these areas is far too small now to hold the capacity of water that is needed.
I find it amazing that Irish Water can pump water from the Eddie Fullerton Dam in Inishowen, all the way down that road, in across the dual carriageway, up and into homes in Letterkenny. And they can pump it all that way. And that is the future of development in Letterkenny, seemingly. But they can't get water from a local reservoir up to Bonamy. I mean, that is just bloody remarkable to me.
Greg, just on that point, and I mean, that's a point I'm trying to make. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you talk about developing that. Irish water is the elephant in the room here. You know, it's not only water supply that they're in control of, it's water connections. Mm. That the cost that they're pulling out of the sky is unbelievable. You know, our construction, our planning, you know, this all revolves around Irish water, and make no doubt about it. And,
all right.
You know, that's the fact.
So right.
Should Irish water get out of control? I think it's going to be a sad day for the government.
There's housing developments that are being refused. Housing developments in Inishowen are being refused because there's inadequate water supply. So your point is there and made. Amanda, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time. Jackie, I'm not sure it's you're in the Cornwall area, and you've kind of pretty much got the same message from Irish Water. It's like, you know, there's nothing we can do. Tell us the situation with you, Jackie.
Yeah, Greg, it's probably now going back over a year and a half. We start contacting them basically every weekend. We have no water. It just stops, no pressure, you see. So there's Saturday, Sundays, you'll go for maybe most of the day without any water. Washing machines, nothing's working. And when we contacted them, you know, we were just logged a call and given a reference number, kept ringing them back. Got nowhere with them. Basically, they said to us, you know, yous are at the end of the line, we are, and that's it. There's nothing we can do. Bar putting in maybe a pressure pump somewhere along the line, but it's just gone nowhere.
So, and that's it. I mean, you know, sometimes you can go, right, well, I'm going to kick up a fuss and maybe make some progress. They've effectively said, that's it. So in terms of solutions, I just can't understand, like, moving water, that they can't put something in between you and where there is decent pressure to get it further up the line. That probably is a solution to Amanda's problems as well. Like, it can't be beyond us from an engineering perspective if they wanted to, Jackie. And I wonder, is the will's not there?
It doesn't seem to be. It doesn't. And, you know, it's very frustrating. You're getting nowhere. And, you know, you spend hours on the phone waiting to hear back from somebody in these places and trying to get through to them. It's disheartening. And, I mean, you know, I mean, like everybody else, you need to rely on your water supply.
Yeah.
But I know Donald's looking into it and that, and it's just, but it's very frustrating. And this has gone on like every weekend
and
during the week as well.
Yeah, and
when you're out at work, you don't notice it as much, but when you're in the house, you do.
Yeah, and Jackie too, it's not just the inconvenience. It is the dishwashers, the washing machines, the showers. It's the value of your property as well. I mean, this is probably your forever home, but say you wanted to downsize or move somewhere. I mean, you know, like, you don't have a house with a proper, you know what I'm on about? Like, this is really impacting the value of your property and your lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's not just an inconvenience.
Yeah. Well, we invested in a huge big tank, a new tank, because just to have, you know, so it would fill up and you'd have that for the showers, but the mains, like, that come in for the rest of it, that's still an issue.
So. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, okay, Jackie. Listen, thanks for that. As I say, it's frustrating. Normally, like to see the wood for the trees or a solution or something we can do. But for Jackie and Amanda Donal, it does seem a little bit desperate, helpless, you know. And the problem is getting answers from Irish Water. They seem to be, especially for a semi-state body, they seem to be a law unto themselves in terms of whether they answer you or meet local councillors or speak to the media.
Unbelievable, Greg, and you know, I totally understand the frustrations of Jackie, Amanda, and every other resident out that area. I mean, the state there about the responses they're getting from Irish Water, it's hard to believe that myself and my colleagues as local representatives, that's the same responses that we get, you know, and it's absolutely shocking. And you know, I'm a firm believer, Greg, in common sense, and in this day and age, and in this issue here, common sense seems to have gone completely out the window. And I mean, it's time that Irish Water hold up their sleeves, come out and get this resolved once and for all, because these people's paying their taxes, they're paying their water bills, they're doing everything right, and they deserve to be treated in the same manner as every other citizen within the country. And that's not happening, and it's not good enough.
All right, and thanks very much for that, Councillor Amanda Kelly. As I say, access to a good water supply is a human right. I don't know if this is something that actually needs challenging in the courts or something, because obviously what we're doing already is not working. But I mean, can Irish water because there's a they're bound by you know, code of practice or what have you. I don't know exactly what the terminology might be, but is it challengeable in the courts? Liam, before we take a break, Liam, good morning to you. What's your experience?
Well, I mean, the experience of everybody is that Irish Water is set up not to be contactable, not to respond. It sets up that you have to go through central call centres or emails, and they simply don't respond. And if you do get anybody, we've passed it to the local operation, so you don't know where it's hanging up. And Irish Water was created for one purpose. It was created for Enron, off the book accounting of all the capital that has to be spent to do up the water system. You know, that was the only purpose of it, because if it could claim that it was a commercial operation, the debts wouldn't go on to the state accounts, so that we would keep within the 3% normal EU limits. That was the only reason it was created. It was for finance purposes and for what is essentially false accounting, which was allowed under the system. The function doesn't exist anymore. It relied on water charges to do that. There are no water charges. So its reasons for its existence has disappeared. So Irish Water should disappear. It's a disaster
everybody. You believe that the responsibility should return to the councils, and that they should be properly financed in terms, obviously, of the infrastructural financing and staffing financing to address the problems locally. Yeah. I don't think the council would get away. You see, it's interesting because I don't think the council could get away with saying that it's not our problem, we can't do anything about
exactly.
it. Build your. I don't believe so. But Irish Water is so... It's so mysterious in its that they can get away with it because, you know, they have us chasing our tail just to get an answer.
The councils have their own problems, but the Irish Water is the worst of both worlds. It is a big anonymous thing. You cannot approach anybody locally to get anything done. You can't get a response. Even the councillors can't get a response out of them to say what needs to be done locally. And this thing, operational issues, that's effectively a lie. I mean, as Mandy says, there is an engineering solution. It may be a very expensive engineering solution that nobody has probably looked at, but there is a solution for this problem.
Emergency. But see, we have a scheme in this country, and I agree with it, and it's not perfect, but it is working, to connect broadband at a certain minimum speed to every house in Ireland. Now, that doesn't even matter if your house is 3 kilometres. The scheme is there to attach you to that with minimum speeds. Yeah, here we have what gives us life, water. Okay, and there doesn't seem to be any actual, unless Irish Water are misleading Amanda and Tracy, there doesn't seem to be anything that guarantees a service of a certain level to every house in Ireland. Now, we're not talking about on the north tip of an island off the coast here. We're talking about houses that are in and around Letterkenny. And I can't, I appreciate what they're doing with broadband. That's, don't get me wrong. But there are minimum requirements and obligations. So you can go on the internet. We're talking about water here. Liam, I have to go, unfortunately. Yeah. It's been lovely having you on, and you made strong points, and I appreciate that. Okay, that's pretty much where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show for this Thursday. As I glance out the window, the sun has broken through the clouds across Letterkenny here on the mountaintop. Don't forget, we're back with you tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. And we have a brilliant Friday panel in studio, or joining us remotely, or in studio, I don't know, it doesn't matter anyway. They'll be joining us one way or other to run through some of the big stories and topics of the week or of the day. So stay tuned for that. Always a popular item from 9. Michael and Fanoodle will join us then from 11 o'clock. And there's so much besides. Guests between 11 and 12 and other things to keep you informed and entertained between 10 and 11. So for me and the team, Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, assisted by Niamh, who is also working on our social media, have a wonderful day. Stay tuned.